Well, good evening, everyone. And I'm sure you all know me. But just for the benefit of those that don't know me, my name's John Donnell. And I was a farmer all my life until I retired some 7 years ago. I'm also a councillor in Stabann Council for over 26 years. And I'm married to Madeline for over 45 years. So I don't know who deserves the medal there, but we'll leave it at that, in case there's a row in the camp. But I'd first of all like to thank John for his kind invitation to come here tonight and to give this word of testimony. I do appreciate it, and I thank God that I have a testimony to give. Anything that I am in the community, in everyday life or in the church, I owe to my Saviour. My Saviour who suffered and bled and died on that cruel cross of Calvary, who took my sins, my sorrow and my shame and made them his very own. I look around this small province of ours and I see sin abounding on every hand. I see laws being passed contrary to God's law. And there I would remind myself, for the grace of God go I. And given my testimony tonight, I want to try and tell you how I was saved, why I was saved, and the benefits of being saved. If you wish, you can turn in your Bibles to one verse, Ezekiel chapter 33 and 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I was born and reared in the townland of Bali, about 3 miles from Strabane and about a mile from the village of Ardygarvan, looking down on the cream in the butter. That's a slang name, of course, for Ardygarvan. And the house we lived in was a small farmhouse. There was no amenities such as electricity, running water, bathroom, kitchen. It was a typical farmhouse of that period, with small bedrooms. My father and my mother were Fanny and Fred Donnell. My father, Fred, was a foundation member of this church, and I can recall him talking about the formation of the church here, the temporary building that used to exist, and the erection of this building. And I know it was his pride and joy to see such a fine building completed, to stand as a lighthouse preaching for the preaching of the gospel in this area, and indeed to the wider district of New Buildings. I know he was not happy in the church he belonged to, for their failure to preach the gospel and the ecumenical thread of that denomination. And I remember him saying that he was leaving and joining the church here. The Bible tells us, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's no problem here, I can say that. And this church is a blessing to this area and a blessing to the people that live in this area, having such a sound church on their doorstep. I was the second of a family of 7, having an older sister, 2 younger brothers and 3 younger sisters. When we were growing up, my granda and granny and uncle were all living in the house, which left it a bit overcrowded, to say the least. I know that things were not easy for my mother, but she contented herself and worked hard to feed and clothe us and to see to the needs of my father's elderly parents and uncle. We were all members of the Church of Ireland, my father and mother, both churchgoers, and so we as a family were sent along to Sunday school and church each Sunday. And it was there I was taught to believe in God and nurtured in Church of Ireland teachings. I was baptised as an infant, confirmed at the age of 13, but sad to say I was never told I was a sinner and needed to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I believed in God, I was taught from the Bible, and believed it to be the Word of God. I knew the commandments, I tried to keep them. I knew verses of Scripture, I could recite the creed. I knew the catechism, I was baptised and confirmed. If I did anything wrong, I asked God to forgive me. I was a member of the Church of Ireland, so in my eyes, I was a Christian. I would ask a question of you tonight. If you're in the meeting and you're not saved, if you don't see your need of being saved, but you, by your believing in God, belonging to a church and attending there, you could go to heaven, then why did Jesus have to die on that cross of Calvary? Are you saying to God tonight, you didn't have any need to put Jesus on the cross, I'll get to heaven another way. My believing and church membership will get me there. A church cannot save you. Believing in God won't save you. Good works are of no avail. And to get to heaven, the Bible makes it clear in Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The only way of salvation is to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. And you can be sure that he will. We have that great assurance in the Bible. Him that cometh to me, I will in no ways cast out. I started my schooling and leave school in Ardygarvan, and then went down to Miss Young's school at the head of the town in Strabane, and then to the Academy of Boys in Strabane, and then up forward onward to the Strabane Technical College. At that time, my father bought an uncle's farm in Ballymagore, and we moved down there to where we still live. This was a new home for my mother and father, and what a change from where we were living to a house that had mains water, hot water, a flush toilet, and electricity. Was by today's standard very basic, but such a change. There was also another great change, for it was around that time, maybe before we left Bally, or when we come to Ballymagore, that my mother and father both found the Saviour. And I know that tonight they're in a better place, gone to be with Christ, which is far better. I left school and started working on the farm, and at that period of my life I was going to pictures and dance halls around the district. But I didn't smoke or I didn't touch drink. Madeline and I started going out together when I was 18 years old. We married when I was 23 years old, and we set home in Ballymagore. Both of us, that is Madeline and myself, enjoyed going to pictures, joined go to dances in Orange Halls around the district. But as time went on, dancing in Orange Halls faded, and lounge bars were where dances became more popular. While we went to lounge bars, we didn't have much to drink, but we would have passed ourselves just to socialise with friends. We didn't see very much harm in that, but it was a downward step, going from a position where we didn't drink to be lulled to sleep by the devil, and who knows where it might have led us. It's the first drink that makes the drunkard. As the saying goes, there but for the grace of God go I. All this time, I would have regarded myself as a Christian. And I can remember, at that time, I was in the habit of borrowing books on prophecy on the Second Coming, which my father would have been reading down at home. And I would have slipped in and maybe borrowed one of his books, unknown to him. But reading those books started and aroused an interest in me, and started a great longing for more. I know that all of those books, they wouldn't have been of a religious nature, and what was written on them maybe wouldn't have been accurate, but they made it interesting to me in my unsaved state. I then started buying Bibles or books of my own, and I can remember stopping at a Christian bookstall in the cattle market in Oma. I was looking through the books on the stall, and the stall holder started talking to me and asked me if I was a Christian. I was taken aback, possibly because I thought I belonged to a Protestant church and I was automatically a Christian. And I replied, "Of course I am. I belong to and am a member of the Church of Ireland." Poor me, blinded, believing in God, trusting in church for salvation. If you take Christ out of the Christian, what are you left with? I-A-N, I am nothing. That incident happened in the spring of 1983. My interest in books of a religious nature and prophecy, singing and gospel tapes in Christ. I know now it was of God and not of myself that started a pathway of searching for the truth. One Sunday afternoon we were down in Portrush, desecrating even the Lord's own day, and there was an open air service being held in the Strand, and I paused for a few moments to listen to the preacher as he was preaching. It was from the text of 33:11 in Ezekiel. Turn ye, for why will ye die? I listened for a while and then moved on and forgot what I had heard, but the desire for truth increased. I would listen to the gospel singing on the gospel tapes and then scan the newspapers for gospel services and missions all the rest of that year, but I never went to any until the month of November, when I saw a notice in the paper on the 15th anniversary of the opening of Omagh Free Presbyterian Church, and Dr. Paisley was preaching. I went along to that service, and the gospel was preached in all its fullness. I left that church that night, but I was back in again on the Saturday night, the Sunday night, and the Monday night. This was my first time in a Free Presbyterian Church, my first time in the sound of the gospel. From then on, each Sunday night, instead of sitting in the house and watching television, Madeline and I would be out under the sound of the gospel. This was some change for us, for over the years there were portable halls around us in Ballymacorry. Some, maybe a couple that my father had given the site to, even on behind our own house. But my father had asked us many times to go, but we rejected and refused to go. We went to the Free Church in Omagh a few times. We went to the Independent Methodist Church in Omagh a few times. We went to Mullivan Church a few times, the Londonderry Church as well. This was over the Christmas and the New Year period. And it was during this period I asked the Lord into my heart to be my Lord and Saviour and to cleanse me from all my sins. And I know that was the case. The Bible assures us of that. Isaiah 44 and 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I cannot point to a day and an hour when I was saved, but know that I prayed many times at home, and simply took Jesus at his word. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. While going in and out of the Home of Free Church, I became aware of a text above the door, and I remembered that it was the same text that I'd heard preached in the stand in Portrush, Ezekiel 33 and 11. Turn ye, for why will ye die? This was God's word speaking to me, and this text has stayed with me ever since. Over that period, God was showing me my lost spiritual condition, the way of salvation. The Bible makes it clear, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Come February of that year, we were down in the Londonderry Church, and we heard of a joint mission being held with the Limavady Churches and the Londonderry Churches. It was to be held in Eglinton Orange Hall for a period of 3 weeks. It was the spring of the year, and we were very busy at home planting spuds. Other years we had worked late, but such was the interest and the pull to be out under the sound of the gospel. Working late was forgotten about. And we travelled all the way to Eglinton, and we missed very, very few nights. And I know where there's a will, there's a way, but that was God's way, and he was in the driving seat. Then another mission started in Mulvan for another 3 weeks, and we're there for almost every night. By attending those missions, I got a great assurance of salvation, but that I needed to belong to a church where the gospel was preached outside of the ecumenical movement. So when an ecumenical service was heard for all the church choirs in the district, and with Madeline singing in the choir of that church that we belonged to, we decided to leave and have a no association with it. We then decided to join Mulvan Church, where we met up with an old friend, Desmond Teith. The old saying that life begins at 40 was most certainly the case, and I thank God that he called me and saved me. Many times I have let him down, but he is always there. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I said that we had met up with an old friend, Desmond Monteith, and for 10 years we had great fellowship with him, his wife, Pearl, and family, until he was tragically killed at the church in Mulvan doing voluntary work. Here was a man, the organist in the church, also the treasurer, and a Christian. And at the early age, God called him home. Why, we will not know this side of eternity. When we started going to Mulvan Church, Violet McGarrigle, mother of Richard, who works to Bobby Barnett, and one of our friends that we used to socialise with in the Lounge Marsh, started going up with us to Mulvan. But praise God, she also got saved. But sadly, Violet took an illness and died a very short time afterwards. Violet stood as an election candidate, an election just a short time before she had died, but was unsuccessful And when a councillor resigned and a vacancy existed, Violet was called upon to fight that election. But due to her health, she was unable, and I had to stand in her place. I was successful and a mayor ever since. I reflect on almost 30 years since I was saved and how quickly time passes, and it makes me realise more and more that we are only here for a short time. Eternity is fast approaching for all of us, but for us who are saved, it holds no fear. When we cross Jordan, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He's the light at the river. Though many foes beset your road, and feeble as your arm, your life is hidden with Christ and God beyond the reach of harm. In times of trouble, we can turn to God. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. What a God we have, a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who loves us. Has he not told in his word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I have called thee by that my name, thou art mine. As the poet wrote, I wouldn't choose this pathway, but he knows what's meant to be. I see pain and suffering, but he sees it's best for me. I have doubts and failures, but in his love divine, I'll canly face the future with his hand holding mine. Could I refer you to a verse in the Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 7. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Just over 6 years ago, Madeline developed a problem with her health. On going to the doctor, and after a series of tests, things looked very bleak indeed. She had a blood disorder and was diagnosed that the cause could be one of two things, myeloma cancer or amyloidosis, an extremely rare condition of which the doctors in Northern Ireland knew very little about. So it was arranged for her to go to London to the Royal Free Hospital, who had a scanner and specialised in this problem. We understand there's only about four scanners in the world, and we met up with patients even as far away as Australia. When you're in trouble, God is very near, and we know that God's people were praying for her, and the elders, the Reverend Baxter of Mulvan Church, prayed with her, laid their hands on her head and anointed her with oil. James chapter 4 in the Bible is where we find authority for this. We travelled to London, a very daunting task for us who were never in London or used going through airports. Madeline had her scan and tests, but God answered prayer. The problem was identified as being amyloidosis and was confined to two places in her body, the spleen and the kidneys. This was good news, for it could have been in many places of the body, the heart, the lungs, etc. Amyloidosis is described as a plasma. It is not contagious in any way. There is no specific treatment for this condition, but doctors prescribed chemotherapy, the same as if she had myeloma cancer, to bring the blood under control. And that the body in its time would shrink the amyloidosis. February, just 5 years ago, Madeline started her treatment. Severe treatment with many tough days. And as the treatment went on, it got tougher and tougher. And at the halfway mark of the 6 month treatment, she took a turn which resembled a stroke and was rushed out to hospital. But praise God, she made a full recovery. The treatment started again, went on for another 3 months, by which time she couldn't sleep, her body extremely warm and shaken. During this time, I learned a lot of new skills, ironing, hoovering, nursing. I became a dab hand with a syringe and an injection needle. And every morning, a poor patient had to suffer an injection from a man who was usually given an animal and an injection. I took on a new name as well, Dr. Shipman. Some of you remember he stood trial in England a few years ago for giving his patients lethal injections. I also took on the role of a chemist, preparing the tablets each day, some days up to as much as 40. With the treatment finished, Madeline started to recover, and each week she was feeling that bit better. We went back to London in July for another series of scans and tests. and got the good news that the treatment was successful and the blood was coming back to normal and that the amyloidosis was stable. Since then, that has been the case, and we went over to London sometime half 6 months, and then it has ended up now as yearly. Since then, Madeline has enjoyed good health, except for the pains and aches of old age, maybe, I might say, Margaret. But God has not promised us a life without trouble after he saves us, but he has given us a promise that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We cannot understand why these things happen. God is God, and he is sovereign. Isaiah 57 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. 'Twas Christ my soul, whose quickening ray first gave me life divine, and as I homeward move each day, his life and light are mine. Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fear, home after wandering, praise after tears." In conclusion, I said at the beginning I would try and tell you how I was saved, why I was saved, and the benefits of being saved. And just to recap, I was saved simply by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, asking for forgiveness and putting my faith and trust in him. And why was I saved? Because I needed to be saved. I was a sinner, and my Lord had died on Calvary's cross to save me. And the benefits of being saved are immense. The certainty of sins forgiven, the certainty of a home in heaven, and my Father's house are many mansions. The joy of being united with those who have gone before, and the immense joy of being with Christ, which is far better. The child of God will never be in hell. These are only a few of the benefits of the child of God. The list could go on and on. But if you're in the meeting tonight and you know not the Lord as Saviour, if you have any concerns for your eternal welfare, then seek and ye shall find.